Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. And I want to thank you very much for the response that we get from the broadcast here. And you've been very generous in writing and letting us know that you appreciate it, and some very fine comments that you have made. It is also wonderful to hear when we get a letter that says, you know, by listening to the broadcast, we found out that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and we have accepted him as our personal Savior, and know now for sure that we have a home in heaven when we leave this earth. Well, that's a thrill to our hearts, because really that's the only reason that we spend the money for the radio time, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can know that you have a home in heaven, and you can know that absolutely, assuredly, for sure, because 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 lets us know authoritatively now that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So that's the whole purpose for these broadcasts, is to teach you the Word of God, so that it'll stimulate you to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and to stimulate you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only our reasonable service. So our purpose in the broadcast is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring you to the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, that you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then to help you grow as a Christian, and to be behind you as you stand, because when you stand for Jesus Christ, you're not only going to be persecuted in this world, but some of the greatest haters that you're going to have to face are religious people. And that may come as a shock to you, but you'll find out that it is people who go to church, that just go to church and are soaked in their self-righteousness, and they do not want to hear that they're a sinner. And they will reject that. They will attack you for that. They will attack your character if they can't find anything about it. They'll make up lies about you. They'll do anything they can to discredit you, because you have stripped them of their self-righteousness. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees hated Jesus Christ so much. He said, "You seek to justify yourself," Dr. Luke wrote. And upgraded them. Degraded them, I should say, or exposed them in Matthew chapter 23. He says, "You priest, you put on long robes, and you walk around, and when there's a big feast somewhere, you want to be at the head of the table." And he said, "I know you fellows." And he said, I look through that long black garment, and I see what your heart's really made of." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "You'll travel land and sea to make a proselyte. And when you do, you made him a twofold child of the devil, because you now got him involved in your religion. And it's an amazing thing that you begin to understand why they wanted to crucify Christ, is because he exposed them, and boy, did he ever. And then he goes on, he says, they'll tell you to do a lot of things to try to make you religious, but they themselves, in verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of their fingers to do it. And then he goes ahead and describes them. Now he's talking to these people here, and you can understand why they hated Jesus Christ. And but in verse 5 he said, "But all of their works they do to be seen of men." And he exposed them. Oh boy, you talk about stripping them of their self-righteousness and getting right down to the core of the evilness of these people. And he said, "I don't want you to be called rabbi," because they had some rabbis, Jewish rabbis, "and for one is your master," or meaning teacher, "even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Don't be calling a spiritual leader down here your father, because he's not your father. And you know, it's an amazing thing, the Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross. Do you know what? We hear so much about this universalism here of God is the Father of us all. Well, that's a satanic lie out of hell. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, we're told that Satan is a murderer and a liar. No, unless you've been born again, God is not your Father. He is your Creator, but he is not your Father. And we find out also that when Christ went to the cross, you find he did not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? No, God could not call him Father, because first of all, he was taking your place as a sinner. You see, a sinner can only call God a God, but he cannot call him Father because he has no relationship with him. He only recognizes the Godhood, that there is a God, and he knows his name's God because the Bible tells us his name's God. But as far as believing God, he really doesn't believe God. He just believes there is a God, and therefore he's trusting that to go to heaven, and he'll split hell wide open. You can believe there is a God and go right to hell. You must believe what God said to go to heaven, and Christ said, I, in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the life, and truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So he goes on down, and as we've said, when Christ went to the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because as taking the place of a sinner, he could not call God his Father. He could only call him God because God had separated. And why hast thou forsaken me? Because you have the sins of the world on your shoulders right now, giving your life unto death to pay for the sins of the world, so that anyone, whosoever will, that'll put their trust and faith, believing that you died on that cross, you was buried, and you rose again, will have everlasting life. You know, it's such an amazing thing to me is when you get into churches and this simplicity of the gospel, as Paul continually wrote about, how simple it is. And we get into churches, we've got to be baptized, we've got to have our babies baptized, we've got to have confirmation. Now, the church has to confirm you. There is no confirmation a church can confirm you. That doesn't exist. The only confirmation you have is from God, your Creator, and Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you. And he confirms you that if you'll believe in him as the one who paid for your sins, he confirms his word that you will never perish but have everlasting life. And all of the rituals that we've invented here, or I shouldn't say we, because I haven't invented them. I just, when I begin to read the Bible after I was a new Christian, and ask some of these churches and some of these pastors and some of these elders, where did you come up with this trash at? And I'm saying trash because if it's invented in the church and it's not in the church, it is garbage that you have pulled out of humanity and humanistically threw it into the church to try to put some kind of Christmas packaging on it and make it look like it come from the Bible when it's nowhere found in the Bible. I never got such a shock in my life when I began to read the Bible for myself. So the Lord goes on down and he upgrades them. I mean, he is just like digging up the plants now. And he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and you hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go to your go in yourselves, in other words, you're lost on your way to hell. Neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. I was talking to a man here just not long ago. I went into a particular business place to get something. And anyway, he was having some marital problems and so forth. And he goes to this particular church, and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, my wife and I went to counseling to this priest. And we went to him, and he said, I've never heard such stuff in my life. And he said, I just told him to get out of here and never come back. And what any more to do with him at all? None. And he said, I got thinking afterwards, if he's not married, how in the world can he give me advice on marriage when he's never been married himself? And he should have thought of that before he went to him, but he didn't think of that before he went to him. That's the church he went to and so forth, but I doubt if he'll ever go back again and so forth there. And I asked him a question. I said, I want to ask you a question. And I did. This has just been a very short time ago. And I said, did this priest ever tell you how to go to heaven when you died? He said he never even mentioned it. I said, I'm going to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven, because God loves you, and Jesus Christ died for you. And God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him, and I said, preachers go to heaven only the same way you go to heaven, and it's so sad when you have a so-called minister that can't even tell you how to get to heaven when you die, and will let you just die and go right straight to hell without telling you. Maybe it's because he's not saved himself, and I doubt if he is. Because if you're saved and know you're going to heaven, you are so thrilled. You want other people to know that. And you tell other people. And you witness to other people. But if you don't have anything just but a cloak on you with nothing on the inside, you've got nothing to tell people unless you give them the Word of God. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it goes on down. I want to get back to this because you can understand why when you're a Christian now and you're going to suffer persecution, and you will. Some of it will come from your family. You're going to find out that you're going to have to get away from some of your old friends and some of your old buddies. It'll take you right down the drain. They'll try to intimidate you. They'll try to shame you. Well, don't you like us anymore? Are you too religious and all this kind of stuff? You need to just tell them, you know, get out of here, part. I want to tell you something. Why don't you come to church with me? And are you too good to come to church? Turn the same thing right back on them. And if they don't want to do that and they don't want anything to do with Christ, you better part ways right now and not go back to them whatsoever. None. Because they'll drag you down to their level, and you'll be a disgrace to the Lord and end up getting chastening of the Lord. But anyway, Christ told these Pharisees and scribes, notice in verse 14, first of all, in verse 13, he says, you're not going to heaven, and you've shut heaven up against anybody else, because if you don't know how to go there yourself, and you reject the way of going there yourself, then you're not going to tell anybody else how to get there, because you're not going yourself. In verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. Other words, you can believe this or not, but this has been about four, five, 6 years ago, to the best of my memory. I was out, and we were going from house to house and so on and so forth. She said, did you hear about this preacher that left this town and had to leave? And I said, no, didn't hear about that, but he'd only been there just a very short period of time. I said, yeah. I said, he had so many complaints, the only thing he wanted to do was tell all these widows to make out their will to the church and everything else, and said they begin to rebel, so the church decided we better get another pastor in there and tone this down a little bit. But this was what he was doing. And how do I know that? Because she happened to be one that he tried to get to make her will out to the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with making your will out to the church, as long as you're not coerced or lied to or given guilt trips in order for you to do that. If you will to do that because you love the Lord, that's a whole different matter. But when it becomes a matter of just merchandising you and just to get your money, and believe it or not, this lady did not know how to go to heaven when she died. She does now. But the person wasn't interested in her going to heaven. The person was just interested in getting money for the church because that made him look good, like he was doing a good job for the organization, and we'll get him down the line of promotion. Now let's go here in verse 16. Woe unto you, you blind guides. And then he comes in verse 17, says the same thing. You fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold and so forth. And then he goes on down again in verse 23, and he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Now, you know, we all want to hear how much Jesus Christ loves us, and he really does. He's such a wonderful Savior. But we hear very little about the wrath of Almighty God. We hear very little about the Lord Jesus Christ standing up for what is called truth. Now, I've been in some areas where people don't want truth. I mean, they can tell a lie and it'll be all over town in a matter of a day. You tell the truth and about something, and they can cover it up so fast it'll make your head swim. And but notice in verse 24, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow at a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and you hypocrites. And then he goes on down, and he calls them in verse 33. He says, you are serpents, you generation of vipers. You're like a rattlesnake. You're like a cobra. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You are phonier than a $3 bill, and we have pulpits filled with preachers like that today. We have synagogues filled with them. We have churches, elaborate churches, filled with ministers like that that can't even tell you how to go to heaven when you die. And what are you saying? I've talked to many, 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 many preachers. And I'll tell you what, in one particular organization, I've talked to over 125, and I've yet to have one tell me how I can know I'm going to heaven when I die, and that is my purpose for talking to them. I've had them to the house. I have went to their parsonage, and I've asked them that specific question. Will you please tell me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die? Well, out of 125 of these so-called Long Grove preachers and so forth, I have yet one to tell me how I can know I'm going to heaven when I die. Pretty pathetic, isn't it? Now, I'll tell you one thing I would do if I were you. I don't know what church you go to and really don't care. But if I wanted to know what my church really taught, I would go to my preacher and start asking him some questions. And I would go to him and ask him, will you tell me how to go to heaven when I die? And you know, people are so brainwashed. This is unbelievable in this area around here. I showed one person, and they went to a particular denomination, and I said, well, you know, your literature says you have to be baptized, and the baptism, when you're baptized, that washes away your sins, not the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I said, so I went back home. I got their literature put out by their church, and this lady wouldn't even believe their own literature. I can't believe it. I talked to another person and said, you know, I denounce this, the fact that when a preacher gets up and says, I can forgive your sins in the name of Jesus Christ because I'm appointed his appointed messenger. And I have people tell me, well, he doesn't really mean that. Well, after talking to hundreds of those pastors, I have yet to find one that said, no, I cannot forgive your sins. They love to tell you they can forgive your sins because it puts some kind of halo around their head. And if they did not believe they can forgive your sins and brainwash the people, they would tell you, instead of putting it in their writings, and I tell them that, here it is. It's in your own writings. And they'll find some way to excuse it. They would tell you, as any other pastor that loves the Lord, Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive your sins. God is the only one that can forgive your sins, and I have nothing to do with it. I can present the gospel to you, and I can give you the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he told the apostles, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. How did the apostles remit sins? By giving them the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God gave his only begotten Son. When we present the gospel and people believe it, then whoever presented the gospel did not remit their sins, only in the sense that we gave the word of God, and God promised, like he did in Acts chapter 10, in verse 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Any preacher that'll throw his pride away will never get up and say, I can forgive your sins. But he will say what Dr. Luke said in Acts chapter 10, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Never take it upon himself to say, I can do it myself. No, these preachers mean what they say, folks. Just ask them. So I suggested to many people that, go ask your preacher and see what he says. But for some reason or other, they feel it's going to hurt their little social standing in the community if they should dare question their pastor, their dear pastor. Well, you're a fool if you don't, because you're being brainwashed. Go ask him and see what he says. Christ said, you serpents and you generation of vipers, how in the world can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, as we continue on in the book of Romans, I know that's quite a long introduction, but there's some things I think that needed to be covered. But we come on down to verse 3 here in Romans chapter 12. First, he tells us how we're supposed to live, present our bodies, and so forth. And then he lets us know that we have gifts that we are to be using for the Lord. And then he says in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, he's talking about, if we go on down here now, and we want to read here in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8. And he's talking about here that the grace that God has given us here and dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, the word faith here is the Greek pistis, and it's P-I-S-T-I-S, and Strong's Concordance translates it, persuasion, that is, credence, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God. Vine's Greek New Testament translates it this way, or gives the definition, primarily firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. So when God gives us the Word of God here, which we place our faith in, and we trust the Word of God that enables us to go ahead and amplify the gift that He has given us. And every Christian has a gift, and most Christians have more than one gift. You know, now one man I was talking about that, and he told me this, so I didn't say this. He didn't, and I had to rebuke him for it. But he said, you know, every woman has one gift. And I said, what's that? He said, the gift of gab. I said, well, he was only joking. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. So don't get mad at Pastor Younce. I didn't say that. He said that to me. Of course, I had to tell him, you know, that's true. But thank the Lord, they're great witnesses for Christ, too. Amen? Well, they surely are. Thank God for our Christian women who get out there and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and witness for Him. And, boy, they're wonderful. I don't know what we'd do without them. But anyway, it's talking about when God calls you, and we go on down, He gives us the measure of faith by the Word of God. And when we study to show ourselves a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But let's go on down there, and He talks about the body. And this is the spiritual body of Christ. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. The problem we have in the church today, with some churches, and probably there's no church that's exempt. Somewhere down the line, you're going to find somebody that wants your position or your gift and doesn't have that gift. And whenever you try, or you have a person in your church, a man or a woman, that wants the gift for recognition, and God never gave them that particular gift, we are to covet earnestly the best gift that we have. And trying to take somebody else's position, you got trouble in the church, brother, because they usually try to run that person down or find some fault with them or something so they can get them degraded so they can have their position. And I've said this for years. One of the most dangerous positions you can ever give a man in the church is a deaconship. I've seen more deacons ruined where this position has went to their head. You give them a position of authority, and pretty soon they think they're the pastor. And that's devastating. In other words, I'm not going to listen to the pastor. I'm a deacon in our church. Well, whoopee-doo. And maybe God never even called you to that office of a deaconship, but you want to be recognized. And if you'll notice what God has said here in verse 3, He said, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, think soundly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God gave a wonderful admonition, and He spoke through Paul, the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul, and Paul said, and if every Christian could keep this, you wouldn't have to worry about pride getting out of hand. Look at me! Look at me! Look at the office I hold! Look at me! Well, whenever you get that kind of an opinion, you're going to find out, whosoever exalteth himself shall be made low, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. But you're going to find out, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. No man stands ever so tall as when he stoops down to help others. And when he bows to the authority of the Word of God instead of the persuasion of his denomination or the social crowd that he runs with for social prestige, when he sacrifices principle, you see, for the persuasion of God in his ministry, his or her, being subjected to God instead of being subjected to society. I am what I am by the grace of God. One man said, he said, you know, he went to, I think it was Mr. Spurgeon, and he had written several books on lectures to his students and so forth. And he had one of his students come to him after they had graduated from college, been out in the ministry, and he said, you know, he said, that other fellow over there named him, you know, he said, here he is, he hardly made it through Bible college, and he's pastoring a church about 500. And he said, man, I don't know how that is. And anyway, He said, Mr. Spurgeon, he said, I've got straight A's going through college. I'm raring to go, and I have a little church about 65 people. And he said, son, let me tell you something. Sit down here. You ought to thank God that you have only the responsibility of 65 people when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you see. Don't ever envy somebody else that has a big church. And, you know, people get this, well, the big church, I want to go to the big church. Well, go to the big church and go ahead and get yourself brainwashed, unless it's a good Bible teaching church. Now, there are big churches that are good Bible teaching churches. But you never judge spirituality of a church by the size of the church, you see. Or we'd all be Mormons, wouldn't we? We'd probably all be Jehovah's Witnesses, or we'd all be Roman Catholics, wouldn't we? Or there. Or maybe we'd all be Baptists. Baptists has hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands also. But you don't judge a Baptist just because it's a denomination of a Baptist. You don't judge Catholicism because it's Catholicism. Doesn't matter what kind of brainwashing they try to give you. You judge what is said according to the Word of God. Don't be thinking more highly of yourself than what you ought to just because you belong to the biggest church in your particular town. You could be the biggest fool in your bigger town. But you judge according to the Word of God, and you thank when God's give us a gift. We thank God for that. We know it's not because of us, but it's because God entrusts us to trust Him to accomplish His will with the gift that He has given us. And we're grateful for that, and thank God that we have the privilege to be an ambassador of Christ. It's not something we deserve. It's something God, by His grace, gives us. And we're going to expound on these gifts as we come on down here and a little bit more. But the most important thing in your life is, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Now, if you cannot honestly answer that question 100%, we went out to eat the other day or shortly, and the waitress said, well, I'm 98% short. Well, after we talked with her, she was 100% short. Or not 100% sure, but she was 100% convinced. She said, I'm 98% sure. But after we talked to her, she was now 100% sure, because the Lord said, if you'll believe on me, these things have I written unto you, believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We hope you'll trust Christ and write us and tell us about your decision. We'd be thrilled to hear about it. We'd like for you to visit our website. It's www.heritagebbc.com, and also to drop us a line. If you'd feel like doing that, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.